The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre. Our packages are great value, and we constantly check our prices to ensure we remain competitive against other providers. Call for a chat on 01983 240 240.
Okay, we have Shania in the studio, we have Bex in the studio, and myself, and in the next hour, there's a couple of subjects we're going to chat about. Feel free to call if you want, 240666, you can message us on Facebook as well. We are talking about the situation on the vote that's taking place later today. There is actually a discussion in the House of Commons taking place as we speak. David Cameron is trying to get everybody to vote for attacking Syria. I refuse to use the term bombing in its flippancy, which is what other media stations, radio stations, papers, I just think we should be a bit careful and a bit more, how can I put it? Just use our words a little bit better when it comes down to what we intend to do or what we don't intend to do, rather than just say, well, we're going to vote on bombing Syria or not voting bombing Syria. Would you agree with that, or would you pick me up on that?
Say that again, sorry. I was looking at my...
Listen, we're doing the show.
I know, but I was checking out my research so that when I came back to you, I could sound educated, sorry.
What do you think, Shania?
It's a hard subject, isn't it? It's like you need to resolve the issue, but I think they're going about it the wrong way.
What would you do?
Try and find any other alternative that could work before killing innocent people.
Okay. Does it worry you? You're 19, we're both 50, and we've kind of seen this kind of stuff time and time again in our lifetime. We haven't lived through world wars like people did back in the 1940s. But does this keep you awake at night? Are you concerned?
Sort of, yeah. It's difficult because you think, oh, nothing could ever happen. But I think this sort of vote could bring danger to us. And not alone, Syrians, in the country alone, but us as well. They could come at us, and I think that's really worrying, that we could potentially be in danger as well. It's like, why can't we just find some other way to sort the problem out rather than going and attacking?
It's scary. I mean, you're 19, you're switched on, you're intelligent, but there's an awful lot of kids, and I'm hearing that, there's an awful lot of young, small children that are asking their teachers what's going on, and what do you say to them? And it's a worry. I remember going back to, it was about 1980 when the Russians invaded Afghanistan, and we were talking about nuclear wars and stuff, and there was this young lady that used to live next door to us, her name was Nikki, and she was 11 years old, and they'd had a party she had two brothers, and they'd had a party, and they were all talking about war, as kids would do then. Back then they would have like machine guns, and they would be like, playing war games and stuff. Yeah. Anyway, they started winding her up about this war that was going to take place. Bear in mind, this is 1980, and she had nightmares, and she went, and it's funny enough, we were talking about the sleepwalking and the sleep talking earlier on. She came round to our house, my stepdad answered the door, about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
She'd wandered out of her house and said, basically, she was having a bit of a nightmare, I guess, and she said, I can't wake my parents, they're dead. And, my stepdad said, well, let's go around there and... but first of all, let's put some clothes on. He put something around her because she was completely stark.
Oh, bless her.
And it was a really sort of... when you think back and you think how it affected her then and what we've got to affect people now, i.e. Facebook, Twitter and all that kind of stuff, it's so much more... It's easy to get access to, or it's easy to see something, hear something... and scare the living daylights out of you nowadays than it was back then. But that simple talk that she had heard had made her react in that way. And I would imagine, you've got to add it on a massive percent now of how many kids are actually affected by this.
Yeah.
And today's vote is just something that, I think it's probably the biggest decision that they're going to make for many, many years.
It seems strange, doesn't it, that they're pushing for this, that Cameron is pushing for this so hard. And you can't help wondering if it's because he wants to leave some kind of Winston Churchillian type legacy, I mean, how every single prime minister who's been in for more than one term has taken us into war. We had Thatcher who took us into the Falklands blow, Iraq and Afghanistan. Now you've got Cameron who wants to get involved in Syria. And you think, when are we going to learn the lessons of you know, the past, and that this doesn't work? And, you know, people are saying, yes, but we've got to keep our country safe. Well, I think we're more at risk of getting terrorists to attack our country if we go and attack their country.
That's what I think, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it just makes sense, doesn't it? Like that. If we leave them alone, it's more likely that they may leave us alone. But obviously it's not impossible that they would come here anyway.
But like this, you know, when we were being blitzed in the Second World War by the Germans, the Nazis, let's say the Nazis rather than the Germans, but the Nazis, all our young people would have said, I want to go and get those Nazis. They blew up my granny. They did this. They did that. And so why would we think that the Syrians and the Middle East countries that we seem to be intent on destroying wouldn't do the same?
Mm.
I would definitely, if someone came along and killed my family, I'd be out there myself.
There is a level of contradiction here, isn't there?
I mean,
let's be honest.
And what are we going to do about all the refugees? You know, all this anti-refugee, calling
them
migrants. There's going to be hundreds of thousands more people fleeing for their lives, wanting to look after their children.
Okay, we haven't discussed this on Vectis, you know, because I just feel like the more you talk about it, the more maybe flippant you become, and the more, you know, I think it's not a flippant subject, and I really don't like the way that it's coming across. It's like it's a vote just like it is on a TV show. It's not. This is a serious vote, and it is going to change many, many lives, and it's going to change things in this country for years to come. I guarantee it. But David Cameron has kicked off a debate on whether to authorise airstrikes in Syria by... See, that's the first time I've read something that is using the correct terminology, authorise airstrikes, not voting on whether they're going to bomb Syria or not, which just sounds so flippant. But authorise airstrikes in Syria by insisting he respects people who disagree with his position. Some MPs are actually calling for him to apologise for the comment about being terrorist sympathisers.
Absolutely right, yeah.
And the Prime Minister told MPs that there was honour in voting for or against airstrikes. A 10-hour Commons debate will end in a vote on whether the UK should join allies in bombing IS targets in Syria. I mean, just one point here that from Michael, it says, just how is bombing Syria going to defeat ISIS?
Yes.
It has had no impact so far. And like you rightly said, there's 10 countries that are
already
doing it. And have they made an impact on it? Who knows?
Who knows?
Shall we take a call?
Mm.
Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian. It's Keith, mate. All right.
Hello, Keith. How are you?
Not too bad. Yeah, a very serious subject. Hello, Shania. Hello, Bex.
Hello, hi. Keith. You all right?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Not too bad at all. Yeah, it's a very serious subject, Ian, as you say here. And I think you'll find that we're going to go in regardless anyway, because there has been a lot of aerial activity around here and also on Salisbury Plain in the last 3 weeks. So obviously they're upstepping something.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of live in that area where you said before that there's something going on, and you know, I dare say you're right this time. I mean, if I was going to predict what was going to happen, I would say that from what we're hearing and what we're reading, they are going to vote with strikes.
Yeah.
And you know,
but I also think there's something else will happen, because, like I said, there's an awful lot of boots on the ground going on up here.
Is there?
Yeah, a lot of training going on. So obviously, I don't know whether they're just preparing for the sort of backlash that's going to happen or what. I don't know. But,
yeah.
Indeed. So, like, I don't want to scaremonger anybody or anything, but there just seems to be a lot more than usual going on.
The thing is, you know, those sort of... We've got to discuss it, we've got to talk about it, but we've got to talk about it in such a way that isn't scaremongering. It's more factually correct, and sometimes it helps people to talk about it, you know, it does. But I do fear for the youngsters that are actually, that they are subjected to all of this. You know, they see it on the TV, there's all sorts of things on Facebook and so on, and you just think, what must be going through their little minds?
Well, I think personally myself that this situation regarding IS or Daesh, whatever they're called, and etc. It's turning into our version or Europe's version of Vietnam. You know, it's going on and on and on. Mm. You know, you seem to sort out one problem and another one crops up. So
what do you think they should do?
Do you know, Ian, I don't really know. Like I say, if we go in there and bomb, you know, the hell out of them, it's just going to kill people anyway. And if we don't, the terrorists are going to come over here and kill people anyway. So what is the solution?
Mm.
But it may increase the situation with terrorism regarding the European bombings, regarding, you know, the striking of cities. And I don't think they will hit London. I think they will hit smaller market towns myself, because London is too tight, if you know what I mean.
Right.
You know, security is too tight there.
But do you not think that by going over there and joining the 10 other countries that are bombing them, we're sticking ourselves on the list of people these people will hate and will come
anyway,
and exact
Beck.
Revenge
I think,
on?
I think we're on the list anyway.
Yeah. I think we are, but I don't think we're going to be I don't think we're going to be making our country safer by doing this. And I just think we need to be cleverer in how, you know, if we want to go against ISIL, ISIS, whatever they're called now, we need to be looking at cutting off their funding, cutting off their arms, cutting off the World Wide Web to them.
Russia has, haven't they?
Have they?
Yes, apparently so. That as I read between the lines there, that they have started, you know, boycotting this. Well, not boycott, what do they call it? An embargo, is it, or summit, when they stop...
Sanction?
Sanction. That's the word I'm looking for. And, you know, from what I can make out, they're starting to cut back on their things they're sending in. And it's like they said, you know, that they're bombing their main product anyway that's going to come out. They're going to wipe out the supplies to them, etc., etc. You know, how are they going to survive anyway? They're only going to survive on the terrorism market.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, if this thing that we're trying to eradicate... They're not all in Syria, they're all over.
Exactly.
So it just makes a, you look at it and think, well, hang on a minute, common sense tells me if you're going to just do one place, that's just a pointless, it's kind of a pointless exercise, isn't it?
I think so, personally.
I think, didn't they arrest some people, was it Leeds today or Leicester today? They've arrested some more people that's terrorism, apparently, on terrorism connections. So, you know, they're in the UK anyway. They're just waiting for the signal.
See, I think what you've just said there, you know, that might be, some people might be a bit concerned, you know, is that true? But I think you're right. I think you, if they're not just in Syria, they're everywhere. They got into Paris with no problems whatsoever.
Twice.
So and they're probably still there. You know, they're probably just about everywhere. So bombing one particular place to me doesn't make a whole load of sense. But having said all of that, none of us four, have all of the details. And I say, we're not the ones voting, and we're not the ones that have seen reports or are in the know.
We don't know what goes on in Parliament, mate.
If you look at this, I mean, it's the Foreign Affairs Committee have refused to back Number 10's motion to strike. There's a huge amount of confusion over Cameron's claim that there's 70,000 moderate allies in Syria. What the heck does that mean? In fact, nobody believes him. Everyone thinks... So it seems to me they're going in on a lot of wishful thinking and spin. And if you're going to go into Syria and you're going to bomb people, these aren't, you know, the people who are stuck in the middle, the Syrian civilians and stuff, they're not collateral damage. These are people.
Well, we'll call it a war. This war is an absolutely filthy war.
Yeah.
You know, it's to compare it back to World War II. How can you say it's like a gen? I know some awful atrocities happened, but it was like a gentleman's war. You know, everybody sort of there's none of this popping up in the middle of nowhere and just blowing the hell out of everybody. You know, a person, they just don't see. You know, they don't care. They just don't care if the terrorists, they don't care if they die or not. There's no way you're going to stop them.
No.
They just don't care. Is the way they look at it, if they've got, 90 virgins waiting for them or something, they're going to do it.
I mean, one of the quotes that sticks out for me was Jeremy Corbyn saying, "We're not going to bomb our way into a democracy." And it's like, well, yes, isn't that obvious?
Well, I think, personally, he's the wrong man in the job.
Yeah, I do as well. I don't think he's strong enough.
I'm holding back. I'm interested to see, because I don't disagree with him. I agree with what he says. I don't think we should be going in there in jackboots. But the trouble
is, Bex, while we're all bickering amongst ourselves, this is still going on.
Yeah, we're bickering amongst ourselves, and the powers that be in all these countries are just getting on and doing what they're always going to do anyway.
You take France, for instance. He didn't take no crap. You know, he just sent the planes out regardless. He said, well, you've done that to us, we're doing this to you.
Yeah, but what did he achieve? I mean, who did he actually bomb? Did he bomb the people who had done that to Paris?
We'll never know, Bex. That's kept under lock and key.
It's like the equivalent of someone hurting one of my children and me running around in the street and just punching the first stranger I see. It's pointless.
Well, terrorism, in my opinion, is like cancer. You may eradicate it from one area, and it may crop up again somewhere else. You never, ever get rid of it.
I mean, it's weird, isn't it? ISIS are this hideous, horrible death cult who behead people, and yet Saudi Arabia do exactly the same as what they do. But because they're our friends, then we think that's okay.
Well, what, you know, the oil-rich Arab countries, why aren't they taking these refugees in?
Because they don't want them.
No.
And also,
but
I think...
How come that they're allowed to say, well, we don't want them, and yet everybody else is taking them in then? How come they can get away with that?
I honestly don't know, Keith, but would you...
Well, I know what it is. It's because they've got the money and they're giving us our oil. If we upset them, they might cut us off.
Do you know what? Arthur was, about 2 weeks ago, he came on and he made this statement, and the more I think about it, the more I think he's absolutely bang on the money, and that is, if, just say, for instance, they invented another form of energy, the equivalent of oil, you wouldn't have these problems.
Ian, you can run, once you start a car engine, you can run it on water.
Yeah.
As long as you've got that perpetual motion going,
but it will
continue.
Yeah, but your car doesn't run on water, does it?
No, because it's too much. It's like the National Health Service, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, I could bring that into the conversation and say, the amount of different suppliers that give me my drugs, and they wonder why people get confused. Because, you know, it's the same product, but it's in a different packet.
Mm.
And you think, well, what's going on here? And, you know, it's just total confusion. The world is in total confusion.
Do you know what? I think you're absolutely right, and I've been saying this for the last couple of years, that you just take Britain as a whole. We've got a current economic slump, which has been there for X amount of years, and you've got one man that's trying to supposedly fix it.
Yeah.
And he don't know what he's doing.
He's doing his best,
bless him, but he don't know what he's doing, purely and simply because this problem is way, 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 way too big, and it's way, way, way above him.
Yeah.
And this thing that they're voting on today is a similar situation.
There is no right answer that is going to solve
all the problems.
Well, maybe the wrong answer, though, is if while we don't know what to do, is to go and kill people. You know, maybe that's a big decision that you're making.
They're still killing us.
Well, no, they're not, Keith. I mean, you know, when was the last terrorist attack in Great Britain?
So, it was back in London, wasn't it? Back in, 2004?
Yeah, well, who did that? Seven. You know, we're talking 11 years ago. Because I'll tell you something, poverty is going to kill an awful lot more people in this country this winter than any terrorist.
Exactly, and how much is it costing for these exercises on Salisbury Plain?
£12 billion for 10,000 USAS people. £12 billion could stick solar panels on practically every house in this country, so we wouldn't have to worry too much about energy. But it would also stop people, old people dying of hypothermia.
Bex, it would also stop the fat cats and the electricity supply company getting their money.
Which is why the government have taken away the subsidies for solar
energy.
We've got
a massive project going on out here at the moment in the field out here that's installing solar panels, and it took 3 years to win the battle to put them in.
Yeah.
But from what I can make out, the electricity that is generated by these solar panels, they're a German company as far as I can make out, and we've got to pay Germany to have the electric. So how does that work?
Well, we've got solar panels at home, and the way it works is that we import half of the energy we get into the national grid, and we get paid for that. So I don't, and the rest of it we use to run our own electricity. So I don't know where that's coming from, unless the German company is doing what some companies are doing, which is to rent people's roofs and put the solar panels on them.
Well, true. that's true. That's good thinking.
I still think Arthur's right when he says that if you find another source of energy, you're going to solve the problem. Now, funny enough, we were having a conversation earlier on that was off air, and we were talking about when we'd had our heating on.
Yes. Yeah.
And I don't know about you, Keith, but I've only had the heating on once this supposed winter.
Yeah. Yeah, same here, mate.
And
yeah.
But they don't. No one is kind of encouraging you not to use your heating, because they want you. All the commercials the commercials that you watch on the television, all the things that you're watching, they're telling you the weather forecast, they're telling you how cold it is, and wrap up nice and warm, and so on. And you're thinking, in your mindset, you're thinking, I'm going to be cold tonight, so I'm going to put the heating on.
Exactly.
Well, there are some people that are thinking, myself included, do you know what? I'm not cold. I'm not going to put the heating on. But the more you put the heating on, the more energy you're going to use, and the more cap in hand we have to go to these people that have all the energy, which causes all the problems.
Yeah. Well, it's like today, outside there today, it's the 2nd of December, and here in the Test Valley, it is 14 degrees.
Yeah?
You worked that out.
It's 13 here.
You know, I've seen people with their fires going with the smoke coming out of the chimney.
That's just incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, 14 degrees.
We're probably, just say for instance, it's 13 over here. What is the room temperature? What is what you'd call, you know, when you would just be able to sit in a room with short sleeves? I mean, that's probably about, I don't know, 18, 19 degrees maybe?
Yeah, 17, 18, yeah.
So why do we have our houses up to 20 plus then? When I went into the Key Arts Centre yesterday, the heating in there was incredible. It was so warm in there, and you're thinking, why is it warmer now than when it is in the summer?
Yeah. I mean, when we were young, it was fully acceptable to have the heating at such a low thing during the winter. You wore jumpers during the day.
That's right.
People want to wear jumpers anymore?
Well, that's right.
Saying that, my postman's still wearing shorts, bless his little heart.
Going back to the government again, what we were talking about earlier, and it's like the most ridiculous thing I heard. I think it was Monday, I think I heard it on the TV, that where my personal opinion is that what they want us to do is forget cash and move over to debt by using credit, where they're going to bring out this £50 coin. Now, what on earth brought that into the system? The people are going to say, well, that's devalued that, isn't it? So obviously they're going to use plastic more. They don't want to use a £50 coin, in my opinion.
Mm.
It's just devaluing the currency.
Mm.
Hey, look, it's fascinating to talk to you, Keith. Yeah. Really is.
And you both. And you, Shania. Happy birthday for the other day.
Thank you.
Guess who's big 5-0 tomorrow?
Yeah, I noticed that. He's been passed his sell-by date as the egg, wasn't he?
Is he having a party?
Humpty Dumpty.
Don't say that. He's passed his... It'll get all miserable.
Has he got a little lion stamped on his bottom?
Yeah.
Is he free range?
Thanks, you cool, Keith.
Yeah, bye-bye then.
Cheers, mate. Bye. Okay, so I don't know whether you saw this on Facebook. It's a brilliant thing, but it's so long, and it's just explaining the situation.
Oh yeah.
President Assad, who is bad, is a nasty guy who got so nasty his people rebelled, and the rebels, who are good, started winning. But then some of the rebels turned a bit nasty and are now called Islamic State, who are definitely bad, and some continue to support democracy, who are still good. So the Americans, who are good, started bombing Islamic State, who are bad, and giving arms to these Syrian rebels, who are good, so that they could fight Assad, who is still bad, which is good. It goes on, it's like a book, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it explains the whole thing in simple terms, and it explains how complicated it is, because that team over there are linked with that team over there, but they dislike them, but they've got links with them, and so on. And this happens all the way through the story.
Yeah.
And they've got this it goes full circle, and you think, no wonder they can't sort this mess out.
Well, you know, suddenly we're on the side of Assad, who's killed tens of thousands of his own people. And a couple of years ago, we were saying, hang on a minute, this guy's got to go.
Exactly.
He's hideous. Should we do airstrikes? And if you remember, David Cameron was going to do airstrikes on him, and he was overruled to do it. But now we're going to be fighting with this hideous person. It's just crazy.
It's. I'd love to be able to read all of this out, but it's about. It's probably about 15 minutes worth of non-stop text. But it's absolutely brilliant. It's perfect. Did you get to read it all the way through?
Yes.
It's just, honestly, it was just absolutely spot on. But it just puts it in simple terms so you can understand it. And it's, yeah, okay, there's a little bit of flippancy as well, but I just thought it was really... And at the end it says, I hope that clears it all up for you, and if it does, please apply for your PhD.
But you know, I've got this saying, you know, from Goering, it was in his Nuremberg war crimes trial, and it was about how you can get a country behind you. And he said, all you have to do is to tell them they are being attacked, to denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same way in every country.
Hmm. See, I'm one of those people, I'm not... I hope they make the right decision today. I can't say whether or not they should do it or not. All I'm saying is I hope they make the right decision based on all of the information, because it's basically going to take us somewhere where we've never been before, and there may be no way back once we've started doing something. It's gonna be an awful situation to be in. So I'm hoping that they make the right decisions.
And, I hope they don't do it.
Now, I'm not a sympathiser or anything. Don't dub me one of those. But at the same time, I just hope that they make the right decision, purely and simply because there's a lot of lives at stake here on both sides of the fence.
Yeah.
And we should just give that some extra careful thought. I do know that they've got to do something. That isn't... I'm not saying...
But what is the end game, do you think? That's the thing. If we acknowledge that ISIS and similar terrorist groups are all over the world in every single country... What are we going to achieve by doing this?
I don't know, but just say, for instance, if you were, you know, someone that had more power than anybody else.
Yep.
Okay, so you are like next one down from God. I know, okay. You don't believe in him, but you know, you've got the power. Yep. Now. You've done something. Everyone's looking at you now and thinking, right, okay, I believe you, and everyone else does as well. What would you do?
I'd destroy all weaponry in the whole world.
Destroy weaponry in the whole world. Okay, well that's kind of, yeah, because look, come on, we live in a weird kind of a...
If all the weaponry in all the world is gone, what would people fight with? You know, a stick?
Spears. They find a way.
No, that's weaponry.
I would say, look, let's you pick. Look, you guys, you're ISIS, and you want to live that way. That's fine. You pick a country. We'll let you have it.
No, I wouldn't, because ISIS are a hideous cult who are completely oppressive to women and children. So no, but
you don't have to live there, do you?
Yeah, but
that's how they choose to live.
Some people don't choose to live that day in, but they are forced to by these hideous people.
Hey, look, I said the best way to do it is just say, right, you pick a country. And we'll decide. You can have one, this one, or that one. And then we're going to put all you lot, you can have your country, and you can live the way you want to live, but don't interfere with us.
Mm.
Okay? Mm. And there will be no planes coming in and out, because that's where you're going to live.
If I was the next thing, the biggest kind of power of the... I would actually just make sure that everybody had peace and love going on. Seriously. You know, we're all going to die, chaps. You know, what kind of legacy do we want to leave behind for our children or grandchildren? I'd like to leave a nice garden, a nice house, a bit of wisdom. But do you know what I'm saying?
You do.
But I'd like to leave that behind. I don't want to leave behind a legacy of war and greed.
Yeah, but the sad thing is that living in the real world, that's the real world. That's what we've had.
But we could change it, Ian. I mean, there was a great thing on Facebook the other day, which was like, if you come across one bee, you can manage that. But if you get attacked by a whole swarm, you're in trouble. And
yeah,
I think
just words, aren't
but
they?
No, but we forget that together, as a, you know, as a people, if we all stood together, we are incredibly powerful. But everyone is too frightened.
They're just words. It's not going to happen. Since day one, we've always had these kind of situations.
Well, when are we going to learn? Or are we just going to carry on making the same mistake over and over again?
We will. We will make the same mistakes. Even though we don't want it, and majority of people on the planet are peace-loving peeps, it ain't going to happen.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I think you're right. I think there's a massive silent majority here who just want to get on with their lives.
Yeah.
Raise their kids.
That's exactly it.
You know?
We don't have guns. We don't have weapons. We don't go out and hurt people.
No.
I mean, Shania's kicked a few in the shins, I'm sure, in the past. But, you know... Most of us are that way.
We can ask Shania the same question. What would you do if you had all the power, Shania?
I'd love to do loads of things, but stop war.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the main one.
What happened to John Lennon? John Lennon wanted peace. John Lennon wrote songs about peace. Imagine. And some idiot shot him.
Yeah, but we can't say to Syria, it's really, really wrong that you're killing people, so to show that, we're going to kill you.
Hmm.
It's like saying to a kid, don't effing swear. It's pointless.
Yeah, it is. You're right. But we're never going to change it. We are never going to change this disease that we've got. It's always been with us, and it will continue to be with us.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Tony says, I think it's very important to break ISIS. I don't care how that is done, but it needs to be done, and Britain has to do her bit with the other partners. This organisation is even worse than the Nazis. To do nothing about this evil in itself, you can't do. You cannot reason with this type of organisation. They only understand violence and death. I am ashamed with some of the British comments I am hearing.
I don't agree with him, really. I mean, we have to know who ISIS are. Who's funding them? Who's arming them? What
is
the end game?
That's an interesting question, because originally some people were saying that the Americans gave them weapons to bring down Assad, and now they've turned on them. So the Americans actually gave them the weapons. Well, it seems a bit silly, doesn't it? I mean, this is what I say. We're on the outside looking in. Do we know absolutely everything?
I doubt it.
So would you just, let's look at it from another slant. This is all, everybody's talking about this. That and this and Lady C, okay? to be honest, I'd probably rather, even though I don't like her, I'd rather be talking about Lady C. Do you think that maybe some of this stuff that we're talking about today, and the media have been full of it for the last couple of weeks, would you rather that there was some kind of media blackout and we just got our politicians, and I know we don't trust them, but maybe in this instance we should. Difficult, I know. Hey, look, you sort it out, because all we're going to do is get in the way a little bit, you know, or we're going to sway people's, or it becomes a bit of a pantomime like it is now. It's a pantomime out there. You know, let's be honest, in a minute we're going to have a vote on whether we go into Europe or not. Are you qualified? Am I qualified to vote on whether we stay in Europe or not? No, none of us are. So let's say to the accountants, slightly, you know, we're going off tack here, but we say to the accountants, well, you show me, can we afford to stay in Europe?
Yeah.
And what's the benefits financially?
Absolutely.
If you can show me the books and you can work it out and you can say to Britain, there you go, if you stay in, that's what it means to us, and if you stay out, that's what it means to us. We can all make our minds. But they don't do that.
Well, you know why, don't you? And this is true here. None of the accounts of the European government has actually been ever signed off by the auditors, because they don't add up.
There you go.
So you're right. We want the facts.
So, getting back to now, today, do we have all the facts?
No.
Do we need to know them? Do you need to know them? You're not making a decision.
Ever know them, Ian? I mean, you know, who's driving this? Who is driving ISIS? I mean, there's a part of me thinks, but who stands to gain from this? And the biggest people stand to gain are the blooming arms manufacturers. They're actually selling arms to both sides.
Mm. It's is this becoming clearer, Shania? Are you stressed out over it? Are you more stressed than you were?
Yeah,
it's not designed to do that, and
I don't know, it's always been like sort of worry, like thinking, do the politicians even know what's going on properly?
No.
To when they're making their decision, like, it's just, you know, it's always been sort of thinking a big worry about what's going to happen, but you know, it's out of our control, really. It's just down to those people sitting in Parliament now, and we have to wait and see, I suppose.
Bit of a worry. Mike says, I don't understand. Britain is already using airstrikes against ISIS in Iraq, so to launch airstrikes against the same enemy in a different location isn't leading us into a new war, as we keep hearing, but it's geographic spread of an existing conflict. There was no mass opposition to the strikes in Iraq, so why is there?
There was massive opposition to the strutting in Iraq. I was part of the thing that did it. And I remember the Daily Mirror was very against it when Piers Morgan was thing, and that was the one thing I liked about that man. But no, there was massive opposition to us going into Iraq, I don't agree with that.
I don't remember there being massive opposition.
There
that
was,
would have been John Major, wouldn't
there? And there was all this thing about, you know, the lies of weapons of mass destruction that took us in there.
That was Tony Blair's time.
Yeah, but this is Iraq, isn't it? And there was opposition to going in there. So people are forgetting that. And they're also forgetting that the net result of us going into Iraq was the uprise of even more terrorism.
Okay. Louise says, because Corbynists are simply using this to defend their terrorist friends and harm the Prime Minister. He's obviously
rubbish.
A conservative.
Absolutely rubbish.
Nick says, it seems intimidation is the order of the day. Individuals parking themselves outside Labour's MP homes last night. Pressure of deselection being made. Yes, democracy is alive and well. Mm. Attack on the Munich airport, February 10th, 1970. Munich Olympic massacre, September 5th, 1972. Ambassador to Sudan assassinated March 2nd, 1973. I don't know what this person's point is.
Yeah.
There's a whole list of stuff here. Everything started in 2003, it said, but you've got a list of stuff that was pre-2003. The list goes on, all because the UK and the US invaded Iraq. Oh, that happened after, and it's all our fault. There's a load of other things here as well. Air France hijacking December 24th, 1994. Jerusalem bus attacks August 21st. Egyptian embassy attack November 1995.
What's the point here?
The point is that some people are saying that this is pre when we invaded in 1990, but all of this stuff happened supposedly before that.
I still don't really get that point. And I'm not really that thick.
Heavens, a fourth war that you can't fail to lose. Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya and Syria. The UK and US governments are getting really good at this. Good thing they aren't fighting anyone capable of serious reprisal. 130 or so dead French are far, far fewer than the number of Iraqis, Syrians, Afghans or others who die most days, largely resulting from our ignorance. What's truly stunning, among other things, is that Cameron has nominally a first-class honours degree and from allegedly superior university, Oxford, in PPE, philosophy, politics and economics. If this is so, please explain to me why he's so abysmal, grotesquely incompetent at all three.
Yes.
No Brits love their little wars. Too bad that on the home front, those who will suffer longest will be the returned veterans of those wars. It was ever thus.
That's true as well. I mean, someone made a lovely point where they were saying they needed 10,000 more SAS troops. Well, we've got 9,000 homeless troops living on our streets in this country because we haven't looked after those that went away for us. Let's get some of those in. It's horrible, Ian.
We'll take a break there and we will come back with more. It's 18 minutes to one.
The Lunchtime Social, brought to you in association with White Fibre, providers of the fastest fibre optic broadband on the island. Call them on 01983 240 240. That's 01983 240 240. This is Vectis Radio.
Putting the community back into local radio.
Lifeline Alarms and Security Services, providing security and alarm services for the leisure industry, domestic and residential, and more, providing access control emergency systems, key holding, installation, monitoring intruder alarms, and much, much more. Check them out at www.lifeline-security.co.uk. Put your mind at rest. Call Lifeline Alarms and Security Services on 01983 521 621. That's 01983 521 621. Lifeline. They put you first.
Want to be worry-free and in control? When you're in business, you're juggling work all the time. That's why Sage 50 Accounts makes it really easy to keep track of your finances, like managing your cash flow, profitability, and preparing and submitting VAT returns and your year-end accounts. Contact the Asperity Group, that's ASPERITI, on 01983 721548, your local Sage business partner. Visit our website at www.asperity.co.uk or email us on info@asperity.co.uk.
For a magical Christmas treat this Christmas, why not take the family to the Isle of Wight Steam Railway Santa Specials? Operating on selected days in December, you will get to ride through the winter countryside on a 10-mile steam train round trip, meet Santa in his grotto, and even enjoy a festive drink and mince pie. There'll be a lovely festive atmosphere with music, entertainment, and even Christmas donkeys. For full details and online bookings, visit www.iwsteamrailway.co.uk.
Hampshire and Isle of Wight Air Ambulance, saving lives across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight. Flying 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Our helicopter is called out many times a day and we can reach anywhere within the Isle of Wight, including the helipad at St Mary's Hospital, within 20 minutes. Funded solely by donations, we rely upon the generosity of the public to keep us flying and saving lives. To see how you can help, please check out www.hiow-airambulance.org.uk.
White Sight, here's how it works. You need glasses? Visit an optician, then bring your prescription along to the friendly team in Cross Street Ryde. White Sight is a boutique shop selling budget to designer frames and sunglasses, stockists of Dior, Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, Ray-Ban and many more. They are an independent retailer, so you can shop locally for first-class service and great glasses. You'll be spoilt for choice. Either visit them in Cross Street Ryde or check out www.whitesight.co.uk.
Care Learning Centre offers high quality training in real workplaces, giving an authentic working experience. They also offer a functional skills scheme to help with young people's essential maths, English and ICT skills. Get in touch by emailing info@carelearningcentre.co.uk, visit www.carelearningcentre.co.uk or call the centre on 01983 533 993.
And get in touch. It's at Vectors Radio on Twitter. The World Wide Web never felt so local.
The Lunchtime Social is brought to you in association with White Fibre for the best deals in broadband, television and phone. 100% local. All employees live on the Isle of Wight. Check them out at www.whitefibre.com.
Shania's in and we're putting her in charge of the show for the next 13 minutes. So, Shania, I don't think we're going to do the other subject today because I don't think we've got the time.
Okay.
So maybe we'll do that next week because yep. This is such a... I mean, they're debating the this vote that they're having tonight for 10 hours, a 10-hour Commons debate. It's going to end in a vote on whether the UK should join allies.
Is it going to be televised, do we know?
I don't know.
Or on the radio?
Should it be televised?
Yeah, absolutely. I think people, when they say something and do something that's going to impact on a huge amount of people, I think they should be able to stand by it and do it in public.
Okay, so I don't know whether that will be or not. Whether it's, I'm pretty sure there is a channel you can go to and watch the whole thing.
I shall have a look and tell you. Because it'd be interesting.
Commons Speaker John Bercow said 157 MPs had applied to speak in the debate, but Labour and the SNP warned that not all would get a chance. And called on the government to clear two Commons days, something that was rejected by the Commons leader, Chris Grayling. Why is he making a decision on something so... But surely, if you're making a massive decision, you know, you can't just say, right, you've got 10 hours to do it. Surely, if you need to take longer, then you take longer, don't you, surely?
Surely it's far more important than that, isn't
yeah.
it?
Who's Chris Grayling? You know, he's rejected this. Oh no, you've got to do it today. We don't look.
Who is he? I've heard the name, but I don't know who he is.
He's somebody that is. He's there. He is. I see a picture of him. Yeah, that, to me, that's just ludicrous. You need more time. You need more time to make a decision. It's as simple as that. Chris Grayling then, and there is words of wisdom here from Philip Hammond. The question is whether we are going to take the fight to them or wait until they bring the fight to us.
Oh, rubbish.
I think they've already brought the fight to us because we've already taken the fight to them. I think, you know, read the news, get up to date. It's already happening. We've done it to them. They've done it to us. It's as simple as that. The Prime Minister caused controversy on the eve of the vote by labelling Mr Corbyn and other opponents as terrorist sympathisers. The BBC political editor, Laura Kussenberg, said the comments were a departure from the carefully crafted language that Mr Cameron has used over the past week. It comes amid reports that Downing Street, which has been trying to court Labour MPs, was now keen to carry the vote through with support of its own MPs and the party's natural allies, such as the DUP. A spokesperson for Mr Corbyn said Mr Cameron's comments were a contemptible slur and showed he was losing the argument. It'll be interesting to see which way this all votes now. It's all goes through. I thought that when they had the general election in May, I thought that they had the upper hand, the Tories. They
are only by about 11 or 12 or something. It's not very
many. But they still had the upper hand. And I thought if they all voted in that way, that's it. Don't matter what Labour, don't matter what, the SDP or whatever they're called, doesn't matter what they think. But I'm guessing that there are Conservative councillors out there, MPs out there, our very own, who was quoted yesterday, sent the press release round saying that he can't see, you know, him voting for airstrikes. So, you know, he's not going to vote for that. So he's going to vote in the way that you want him to. Mm. So, you know, I'm looking at him and thinking, well, if you're one, there must be another few. So
let's face it, Andrew's usually pretty, you know, he does toe the party line, and he has over many things that we found contentious. So if he's standing up about this, and he's more of your traditional Conservative MP, it'll be interesting to see. I think there might be quite a few others.
Yeah. Okay, fascinating. So, what do you think now? Is this opening your eyes? Are you more kind of concerned? Can't wait to get home, put yourself under the duvet, and block it all out?
Yeah.
Well, it's not something really you can ignore, is it? You need to be aware of what's going on, and even if it's really upsetting and worrying, you still got to know. I think personally, it'd be more worrying not knowing what's going on than what is going on.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so you watch the news.
Bits of it. Only the stuff I really want to see, sort of thing. I mainly check on the news sites, you know, websites, and have a look there mainly.
Okay. I don't want to use the term interesting because it's interesting for all the wrong reasons, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't say enough that this is the probably the biggest vote that they will have in this their 5 year
I hope
period.
They realise that, Ian. I hope they're not carried away with this kind of gung-ho part of your gang type
trigger
mentality.
Cowboy,
I just hope they realise that this is actually all people's lives.
Yeah, it is, and I'm sure the majority do. It's just let's be honest, I think the media have kind of, they're the ones that have been flippant. They're the ones that have belittled and it made it sound like they're reporting on a football match. When really we should be saying, do you know what? I feel sorry for these MPs. They've got to make a really, really good decision here. And that decision, or they've got to make a difficult decision, and that difficult decision is going to live with them for the rest of their lives. And that is, you know, that shouldn't be like sneezed upon. That shouldn't be. We shouldn't be talking the way that we the way that some media have no. talked about this. There's a one guy that I've said about Tom Bradbury. Google him. Google Tom Bradbury. He's the guy that's now reading the news at 10 o'clock, and the way that he reads the news, not just on this story, but any other news story, is what the hell? It's you know, do you know what I mean? It just comes across as so flippant.
So it's kind of almost disrespectful, isn't it? I mean, you're talking about war, basically what you're talking about is legalised execution of your opponent, right? Mm. There's nothing flippant about that, is there?
Well,
there's nothing to be flippant about.
No, exactly, exactly. I want to, you know, there was opinion the way that he was reading the news last night. His opinion came across in sarky comments, and you just think, I just want the news. I don't want your opinion. I don't want your sarcasm. I just want what is the news.
Absolutely.
I can then make up my own mind. But there's loads of people that have messaged in. So maybe we should read out some of these messages. This is just calling himself Right Left. I'm really finding all this bombing and stuff problematic. We shouldn't bomb anyone. In fact, we should never have bombed Nazi Germany. We should have tried to talk to Hitler to find common ground. I'm sure he would have eventually seen the wrong in his ways and stopped invading other countries. I'm sure he'd have then not enslaved millions and gassed everybody else he didn't like. And now we're making exactly the same mistake. Why can't we just leave these sex slavers, murderers and terrorists alone? I'm sure that they are really quite sensible people, open to some kind of peace if we show them that we are peaceful. Hey, come on, all you guys. Which one of you will volunteer to go over there and offer to talk to them? So I'm pretty sure that's pretty tongue-in-cheek, isn't it?
That's pretty emotive language as well, isn't it? I mean, to compare this to what Hitler did to the Jews and to many, many countries, and actually, it's just laughable, really.
Okay, this is Hermann Göring said it as it is. Naturally, the common people don't want war, neither in Russia nor in England, nor for that matter in Germany. That is understood. But after all, it is the leaders of a country who determine the policy, and it is always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it's a democracy or fascist dictatorship, or a parliament or a communist dictatorship. Voice or no people, the people can always be brought to the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them they are being attacked and denounce the peacemakers for the lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same in any country. You said that this morning, didn't you?
Yeah.
You said that this morning, and that was old Göring apparently said that long time ago. How do you feel when you talk to people? You talk to, you know, you know how I feel. We know how Shania feels. I know how you feel. How do you think this is going to go this evening?
I think it's going to be close, and I'm really hoping that we don't bomb Syria. But I have a horrible feeling we probably will.
Okay, because they're saying that, you know, it could be once the vote is push through, and they say if they vote yes, these things could happen straight away, within 48 hours. So, yeah. I mean, I'd be looking at it and thinking, right, okay, somebody said, this is a politician, they've got 10 hours to talk about it. They asked if they could extend the time that they talk about it because it's an important decision, and somebody's saying, no, it's got to be done.
How dare someone stick an arbitrary time on something so very important?
Absolutely.
It's not a game.
That's the whole point. It's not a blooming... It's not I'm a celebrity or I'm a politician, get me out of here. It's not I'm a terrorist, eradicate. It's not... Do you know what I mean? This affects a lot of people.
This is not a bloody Bush Tucker trial. This is, you know, we're talking about bombing people in their homes. And a lot of innocent people, which I really resent being called collateral damage. You know, it's just politics speak for...
Okay, well, look, we've run out of time, and you know, it's one of those things we've never talked about this before.
No,
you know, I'm not glad that we have, because I'd prefer not to talk about it.
I wish we didn't have to.
That's perfectly put. So, what do you think, Shania? Are you now like worried, more concerned? Because if we have, you know, bothered you, worried you, or anything like that, then we do apologise. But obviously, you know, we. These things sometimes you have to talk about.
Yeah, it's better to talk about things than not to talk about things.
Okay.
You know, there's always going to be worry. Everyone's going to be worried to some degree. But
absolutely, yeah.
You just got to sort of try and get on with your life and try and put things behind you and just hope that they make the right decision, whatever that decision is.
I think, you know, what happened in France and people of France standing together, uniting, and people just getting on with their lives and putting two fingers up to terrorism is probably the perfect answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
To me. Anyway, thank you for being there both, and we'll see you next week.